Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a place for training trailblazers to get real. I'm Lynn Christensen-Esker of Novo Ed, and today I'm joined by Brian Cicatelli, learning technologist at HP. HP is a multinational information technology Fortune 500 company that offers software and hardware-related services and products. Welcome, Brian. Welcome to Novo Ed Talk.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. So I know you call yourself a learning technology. I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and a little bit about what that learning technologist means in your role at HP.
Sure. Yeah, I've been with HP about 6 years, and I've been in the learning technologist role for a little over a year and a half. Basically, that means that I oversee all the technology and the platforms that we use to deliver learning experiences across the company to all employees, from our newest interns all the way through senior executives. And a lot of the stuff that we do is a foundational learning. So a lot of power skills and kind of fundamentals for AI and data and technical skills like that. Things that everybody needs to know to be able to function in today's environment.
What are your biggest challenges?
Nothing revolutionary. I think you've heard this probably on every podcast where you ask this question. One of the biggest ones is time. And people are just so busy with everything that they're doing. It's hard to make time, or I guess hard to prioritize that time. People think of short-term wins, of the projects they're working on and the things they need to get out the door. And learning and development is a long-term win. And so if you spend a lot of time learning now, you're going to be able to do things faster and better in the future. But it's going to take it's going to put everything else on the backseat right now. And so it's hard for people to prioritize learning over the things they can see and get results on really fast.
How has your approach to learning changed over the years?
With technology, things have gotten so much faster and easier. It's also been able to be personalized to learners, and so learners are starting to expect that. And so the things that we've been doing in the past are no longer good enough. We can't just do one-size-fits-all learning where we just put out a pathway and expect everybody to just take it and be okay with that. We need to make things more adaptive and more personalized. Employees and learners are expecting that now. As you go onto any other platform, social media, or you know, products that you're using, they're personalized to you and your likes and the things that you want. And learning should be that way too. You know, we shouldn't expect everybody to be starting at the same point. We shouldn't expect everybody to be ending at the same point. People have different career goals and different desires and different skill levels, and so we need to be meeting them where they're at. And what we've done in the past was not that, and we need to do that now.
So the audience might notice that we have a little bit of noise here. We're actually here at ATD in New Orleans 2024. And we've got the expo going on outside. We're in the Novo Ed booth at the expo. And Brian, I'd love to hear about sort of your experiences so far at ATD, what you're learning, what you're seeing, what trends you might be picking up on.
Yeah, a lot of it is what I've been talking about already, is this personalization of learning and especially embracing AI. Like, I don't think I've talked to a vendor yet that isn't trying to incorporate AI into their product in some fashion. And so it's exciting to see what people are doing, not only with the ability of AI to enhance productivity, but now with generative AI to enable us to just literally do anything we want, like the content development, I've seen a lot of like video augmentation where you can have a video up there, but then you can make 600 permutations of that, you know, depending on which pathway the person chooses. All of that can be done with AI, and you can update things in real time. And so if a word changes, like if your CEO is doing a onboarding video and they say 2024 in it, and then all of a sudden it changes to 2025, you don't have to reshoot the video. We can just have them change that, and like the lips and everything will change. Pretty incredible what they're doing with that. And then I think another thing that I love about ATD, which goes a little bit beyond what you were asking me to say there. One of the things that I love about ATD is the meeting face-to-face with people. A lot of these vendors I've been working with for years, and they've never come to a conference before. This is their first time. And so getting to see them in real life and have those relationships just really solidified goes a long way in business. Like the person-to-person connections are paramount to how we do business, especially at HP. We feel like relationships are critical to having a good functioning business. And so these conferences are a great way to foster those relationships, not only here at the conference, but then the happy hours afterwards and the networking event tonight is a lot of great opportunities to meet with people.
Yeah, I think that might be actually my favorite part, followed closely by just seeing what everybody else is doing. I wanted to go back to what you were talking about with AI.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, AI, it's on everybody's minds. Mm-hmm. It's something that everybody, whenever I ask, like, what are the trends, everybody's like, well, of course it's AI, and of course it is. But can you kind of maybe give us your take about AI? I know a lot of people worry about it. I know a lot of people are excited about it. Like, where are you on this whole topic?
Super excited. I mean, my role as a learning technologist is basically to look at the platforms and technology that we're using for learning and like try and design that future. Like, where do we want to be in 3 to 5 years? And obviously, no one knows where technology is going to be in 3 to 5 years. But that's what I'm doing. So trying to figure out, like, what's AI? What's potential? Like, I know it doesn't exist right now, but it'll get there in a year or two. And I love that. And so I love talking to a lot of these vendors who are using AI in really unique and innovative ways, because even if it's not there yet, it's going to get there. You know, I was at a session yesterday and they talked about that and they said, is AI going to replace humans? And the answer is absolutely no, but humans with AI will replace humans without AI in the workplace. It's really critical that we all embrace AI and understand how it can benefit us, both with productivity and creativity, decision making, the whole shebang. It can do anything that you can, but you need to know how to harness it. That same session was talking about like how we look at the AI assistants that we can use right now, and basically the consensus was that they're well meaning, but often kind of hallucinatory, you know. And eventually they'll get to like Jarvis status. They're not there yet. So we can't fully trust the assistant. It's like sending an intern off with a task and they're just like, they'll come back with it and it might look good, but you should probably check their work, you know? And that's what our assistants are doing right now, the AI. And so that's great because they're helping us with a lot of stuff. They're getting us like 80% of the way there. They're doing that a lot of the creative work or taking away that blank slate. Like, where do I even start with this creative project? They can give us that. And that's where we got to use it now. Eventually, it'll get to an even cooler place. And that's kind of what I'm doing now is like trying to figure out where we're going to go in 3 to 5 years. So what are the people that are out here embracing technology, embracing AI now and using it in innovative ways? What are they thinking about? What are they trying to do? And that's going to help me to formulate my strategy for the next 3 to 5 years. I'm like, okay, if they're thinking about it now, it may not be possible right now, but we'll figure it out. Like, somebody's going to figure that out and we'll be able to use that. And so I can put that into my strategy right now and say, like, this is the way the learning is going to look in the future. And I'm excited about that.
I mean, you're a learning technologist. Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt that you are excited about it. Besides AI, like, how do you use technology? What does that learning technologist title really mean to you?
Yeah, so right now, a lot of what I do is trying to make the learner's experience better. And so we've got a lot of different learning resources across the company. So to give you an example how HP is structured, we've got a learning and development team that I sit on that's global. And then each of the orgs, the different business units, have specific learning development people. And so we cover a lot of the fundamental topics, but in the business, they can cover a lot of the deep technical learning or any of the things that we're not covering that they feel is a critical need for their business. And so there are a lot of resources that are kind of all over the company. And if one person in one part of the org jumps over to a different part, they might have totally different learning resources. And so my role right now is to try and connect all those dots and make it a really simple and easy user experience for all of our learners to access any of the learning, no matter where it sits in the company. And so I've been busy trying to build this portal and connect a lot of these things through APIs so that, you know, if somebody learns something over in one platform and then they learn something else over here, that's all aggregated. And so we can see it and they can see it. Like, the learner shouldn't care where they're going to learn stuff. They should have some sort of a transcript or a profile of, like, these are the skills that I know. Not like, here are the skills I know over here. Here are the skills I know over here. All of that should be together. And the only way we can do that is by connecting those on the back end through APIs and through, you know, some really clever JavaScript on the website. So that's what I'm doing now, is just trying to make that learner experience just really seamless.
So is it technology or is it like other things that you see as challenges?
I don't know. There are a couple of challenges. I think one of them is ensuring that the new technology that we're using is safe, both ethically. Like, if you're using generative AI, we want to make sure that the content that it's scraping has been ethically sourced, and so we're not using anything that we shouldn't be. Also, that the responses that it's giving us are good. You know, they're not hallucinatory. Yeah, with new technology, one of the things that is absolutely paramount for HP and a lot of other companies is cybersecurity. And as we introduce AI, there's not like a simple code you can check of where it's coming from and what it's doing. And so it's really, really important that we're not sharing personal information on any of these other platforms, or as I'm connecting platforms, that connection is secure. And honestly, I don't know a lot about that stuff yet. I'm learning more about it. And as I'm working with our cybersecurity team, I'm understanding what we can do and what we can't do yet. And I think that's a really critical part of this, is as we start embracing new technologies and putting in place new platforms, tying in cybersecurity and tying in our IT teams to make sure that all of us are working together as a team and not just butting heads against each other, that's going to be a really critical thing. And it's something that, like, I'm trying to build now. It's not there quite yet, but I'm trying to build those relationships within HP.
Another hot topic that everybody likes to talk about is the trend toward really needing to prove the ROI and your metrics to the business.
Yeah.
How do you do that at HP?
Yeah, so it depends on what skill you're looking at. If you're looking at technical skills, those are really easy to do assessments, and you can see what people know and what they don't know, and then have a learning experience and then take another assessment afterwards and see if they can do those things. When you start looking at power skills, like strategic thinking or, you know, giving feedback or executive presence, things like that, like, that's harder. Like, how do you validate that? How do you validate a proficiency of that, you know, and like measure an increase over time? And so for those things, what we've been doing right now is really a confidence lift, because a lot of those skills are not required to get a particular position. These are professional development skills that people want to improve at. They know that they're important. They know they're things that, like, AI can't take away from them. And so these are like the human skills that they want to be focusing on right now. And so with that, we just want to make sure that people are confident in those skills and more confident than when they started, at least. And so we have a basic assessment at the beginning saying, like, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about your skills right now? And, you know, being able to apply this to the work that you're doing. And then we have a learning experience. And then at the end, we do another similar assessment and see if they have a confidence lift. And hopefully they do. And a lot of programs, they have a really significant lift, which is really great.
How do you talk about that to the business kinds of KPIs? But how do you prove that outside?
Yeah, and again, that depends on the skill. And so if there's a particular skill that is tied to the business, like, the business has come to us and said, hey, we need this. We recognize that our employees aren't good at this. Like, to give you an example, product management is something that we did recently. And so a business said, hey, our product managers are, they need to be more customer centric, you know? And so we created a training about, you know, customer journey mapping and how to involve the customer. And, you know, there's design thinking in that, of course. And so that's going to be a much longer term solution, because impacting the business is, we're going to see this over quarters and over years to see, like, okay, these are the people that went through this program, and now, like, we can see them as a control group versus people who didn't, and we can see if there's a difference in the output of the products that they're creating.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. I don't want to keep you from the rest of the expo. So as a send off, I'd love to hear about, like, what you have planned, what you're hoping to see at the rest of the ATD conference this week.
Yeah, great question. I am hoping to meet with people doing really innovative, cool stuff that I haven't thought about yet. I spent a lot of time researching different vendors and different technologies and trying to figure out what's possible, you know, for the future, and making those partnerships so that we can bring that into HP and really create a world-class learning experience in the company. But there's a lot of people here that I haven't met yet, haven't talked to yet, and I want to talk to them. I want to understand what they're thinking about. And even here at Novo, I was having a conversation with one of your colleagues yesterday, and as we were just kind of like riffing on cohort learning and the different ways that the Novo Ed can partner with us and help benefit the company, there's just new ways that I'm just like, okay, this is how we can meet the learners where they are right now. And it's something that he hadn't thought about yet, and I, of course, hadn't thought about it, but like just having those conversations together of what you're doing that's possible and what our needs are, we're like coming up with these new ideas. And I love that, you know, because as we can talk to everybody here just loves learning and wants to have a good learner experience. And so having these conversations is just really enlightening and really fun. So I'm excited about all those conversations I'm gonna have.
Well, there's about 12,000 people here this week, so you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I love it.
And thanks to everyone for joining us again for this episode. See you next time on the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Bye. Bye.